Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Interrobang's Red Couch Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Kohler, and today I have the absolute pleasure of being joined once again by former host Ben Harrietta. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Justin. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing great. It's been so long since I've sat across a table or a desk for me to do any of these, so I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, it feels strange. Usually I sit at a desk all day, not looking at anyone, so...
Having someone in front is so nice.
Oh my God, is it ever? I don't record podcasts anymore, so I'm a little rusty.
Well, hey, I'm here to help you along. You've got plenty of experience. I'm sure it'll come back naturally, easy.
Oh, like a glove. I was actually listening to some of the old episodes that I hosted. I need to make sure that I keep my game up. Do some research, you know, study some film.
Go back, do all the research, study the tape. So right off the bat, before we really get going, I like your Mariners hat.
Thank you.
Before we really get ramped up, I would love to talk to you about baseball for a second.
Of course.
Have you been watching spring training
at
all?
I have been following it a little bit. I know the Jays are, they're looking pretty decent.
We're okay.
It's okay.
I'm optimistic, yeah. But I'm also a very...
Schneider looks good.
Schneider does look great.
I hope that guy becomes a mainstay on the team.
I hope so too.
He seems like such a fun player, and I love the stash, especially now he's grown it out into like the handlebar stash.
I love it.
The stash and the glasses is totally 80s, and it's like the best thing ever. They gotta keep him.
My parents are big into the Blue Jays too, and they're in the camp of like, oh, why does this guy still have the mustache? And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the best part Can't get rid of that stash.
No, it's integral to the look.
His entire power is centered around that stash.
Stash glasses combo.
So you can't change that. But how are your Mariners looking so far?
Bad. I know spring training doesn't really mean anything for the season. This is when, you know, you get your AAA and your AA players up and be like, hey, do you want to try a shot at the big leagues, kid? And,
hey, show your stuff.
You know, we're going to get a pitcher up, and he's only going to throw 40 fat, like, he's going to throw fastballs, you know? I think, like, I was looking at the record in spring training. It's like 3-12 or some shit like that.
I'm usually pretty hesitant to pay attention to spring training. But there are some lines, especially when it comes to, like, overall record in spring training, where it's like, okay, should get some wins on the board. Come on, guys.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Mariners, especially after kind of the disastrous end to their season last year, where they had that amazing August and then just absolutely dumpstered it in September and didn't even make the playoffs. So I'm kind of like, ooh. I'm like, if we're not looking good, especially because we've lost a lot of the players that made us very good last season. Like, I believe Crawford's gone. Or no, it was I forget his name, but
yes,
we've lost a bunch of good players. But so,
as a Jays fan, I can't talk too much more, because we also had disappointing playoffs.
You signed Joey Votto though.
Whoa, yeah,
to a minor league contract.
The Canadian. getting into the main crux of this podcast episode, before we really get going, you were one of the past hosts for the Interrobang podcast.
Yep.
How has life been for you since leaving the Interrobang?
Since I was, losing the job as host of the Interrobang podcast has started a slow decline in my life. I've been every day that I'm not allowed to host the podcast is a sad day. I'm joking. it's been good. I took about a month off after I finished up my contract here at Interrobang, and then I was fortunate enough to get hired at 980 CFPL out of downtown London. So working for Global News, which is pretty cool.
Super wicked.
Which is wicked.
That's spectacular.
So I'm a reporter there, doing reporter stuff. It's basically exactly what we did for anyone who is a broadcast journalism graduate. Basically, if you have done that program, you have worked at 980 CFPL. It's the same thing.
Which is great. As someone who is soon to be a broadcast journalism graduate, it's great to hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like in that newsroom, I'm like doing the exact same thing as I was doing during college. So it's perfect. Works out. And so, yeah, I do reporting and some newscasting occasionally, which is what I'm going to go do after we finish recording this.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah. Love it.
So how is the, so you mentioned a lot of the similarities there. What are some of the big differences that you've seen between the Interrobang broadcast journalism versus 980 CFPL?
The big thing, and I think the big thing with the Interrobang is that it's all web. It's all web writing. And specifically, it's more, sorry, I got to clear my throat really quick.
All good. Not allowed. Bang.
Like in Interrobang, it's all newspaper writing, which is, you know, you try to keep your articles super short because you get, and you're very curt. You're very like, you know, here's what it is. Ah, yeah, here's the
get
article.
To the point.
Like, web, I can be like, because, you know, when I write a web for 980, I can be a little longer. But for the most part, I'm actually doing radio writing. I don't do as much web writing as I used to. So a lot of it is, you know, writing copies and voicers, you know, writing, getting a clip from something or writing around that clip, which is a totally different style of writing compared to this. So yeah, and then I guess the biggest difference between this and college is that I'm getting paid for it. So
big win.
That's
always
a big win. You know, I do like paying, getting paid for the work I do.
Money is nice. Funny enough,
you know, money can be used to exchange for goods and services. They always say that. They teach you that in business class. That, you know, money is good for things.
Money can't buy happiness because money is happiness.
Money is happiness, you know. Like seeing when I see that paycheck hit, it's like sunshine and rainbows.
Best day ever.
You know, I don't have to eat, you know, ice cube soup today.
It's not just ramen again tonight. And so when you jumped on with 980, were there any big things that kind of surprised you or took you off guard when you jumped in, or any, just pretty much anything that you weren't expecting when you jumped out into the actual field?
Actually, the biggest thing that was a huge surprise was how not understaffed, but how small newsrooms are in comparison to, I think, both here and the X. When I started, our newsroom was three reporters. So it was myself and two other reporters. And I wasn't even technically a reporter at that time. I was a radio technical producer, which was essentially the guy that does all the levels and stuff for the talk shows and make sure commercials go to air properly and everything gets on air. They just also had me reporting because I had that background. And then one of the reporters left. I went to fill his position. Which meant we were down to two reporters. Cool. And then one of our newscasters left, and one of the reporters has been covering that position, which meant one reporter, me, for like months. So we just hired a new one. But yeah, I think that was the biggest surprise, was that I was like, real newsrooms are tiny. It's just like, it's like two of us in there, basically. Like, there are some days where, you know, if people are sick or people are working from home, yeah, it's literally like I've been alone for an entire day at work.
Just so it's very nice, but it could also be kind of bittersweet. I've had situations similar to that where it's like, I'm the only person in this area working right now. It's nice because you can kind of do whatever you want, but then having other people there is very underrated, just having another person in the room as you.
Oh yeah. And it's like, those days when it's just myself, it's like I clock in and it's just like I sit down, I work for 8 hours, and I go home, and it's like it was crazy. So we've got some more people now, so I'm really glad that that's a thing. But yeah, definitely the biggest jump was like, I was like, wow, it's crazy how this newsroom is like less staffed than my college newsroom. And that was during COVID too, so
yeah. Well, we especially over with Fanshawe's 106.9 The X, being in there every day, we kind of undersell just how cool that newsroom is. And I think it is still technically the biggest physical newsroom of any station in London.
Yeah.
And I think we definitely take that for granted left and right compared to how actual newsrooms are nowadays.
My newsroom is like, the newsroom at 980 is four desks. Four desks. I don't have my own desk. I share a desk. Technically, I share a desk. No one sits at my desk because they shouldn't.
Bro, if anyone sits at this desk, we're gonna throw fists.
My things are there. Like, don't, my things are there. You go sit at one of the other desks where my things aren't there. So, but yeah, it's definitely the size of a newsroom is crazy in comparison to here.
And to get slightly reflective a little bit, I know I miss having you here a whole ton. I miss talking with you every single day. What are some other things that you kind of miss yourself about being here in college with the Interrobang?
Oh man, all of it. Like all of it, genuinely. I do kind of miss the atmosphere that Interrobang we kind of fostered here. I miss having my own desk. That was nice. Just this morning, actually, I went and grabbed breakfast from Oasis downstairs, and I kind of took for granted because the only breakfast place we have in my building is Tim Hortons. And it's all right. It's fine. But it's like,
it gets the job done.
You can't get a two-egg breakfast for less than $10 at Timmy's, where you can here. So there's that. I miss writing for, I miss writing like opinion stuff. I don't do that much. Any opinion writing I do in my own free time, effectively, because 980 is a news station. They don't really do opinions. So,
and there's different styles of writing, not only for like for air, for papers, for online, but then just the difference in writing of being able to actually kind of have your own specific voice reflected in your writing versus for an opinion or a culture piece versus for a news piece is a huge, colossal difference as well.
Oh, totally. And it's like, it's that I think, yeah, the vast variety, like the variety of what I wrote for the Interrobang is I think the thing I miss the most, because for the most part, I'm like 980's council reporter.
Oh, okay.
So I mostly just do city council stuff, which is interesting. I find it interesting. I'm one of the few people who actually finds municipal politics an interesting thing to follow, but it does get boring. I think it gets like repetitive.
I did one city council meeting over the summer in particular. And I remember showing up, I was one of the only people who were there to watch it. And within 10 minutes of the meeting starting, the mayor, Josh Morgan, essentially said, just so everybody knows, it's going to be a pretty dry meeting. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Come on.
And it's like, I get scheduled for some of those committee meetings. And those, hearing the fact that I'm scheduled for the SPPC, which is the... I don't even remember what it's called. I just call it SPPC. But that's where they do all like their voting on pretty much everything before it goes to council. And that's where a lot of the debate on stuff goes. And those meetings last forever. Council usually is only like 2.5 hours. Yeah. I've had an SPPC meeting go for 6 hours.
They
usually start at 1.
I forget when it was, but I know there was one meeting where I think one or two of the city councilors asked 30 straight questions back and forth during one of those SPPC meetings. And yeah, you just don't see that at regular city council meetings.
It's brutal. Brutal. And they're fun to cover and they're fun to write with. And it's like wild that because I'm the council reporter, it's like I have a rapport with these folks who are veritably in charge of the city. Like I was at an event and I was actually genuinely just making small talk with the mayor, like just talking about sports. Mm. I was like, I forget that this is the mayor of like the fifth most populous city in Ontario. Yeah.
And he's very great conversation. I've talked to him once or twice before. Incredibly well media trained.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like so I, every time I talk to him, I'm like, man, you are so impressive on how clean your answers are back and forth and how much you're able to like keep it to, kind of how politicians do, where they keep it to the thing that they want to talk about, but he's so subtle on segueing back into
his
end, and it's fascinating. And so with your time with 980, I know you mentioned you've covered a lot of city council stuff. What have been some of these stories that you've been able to cover during your time there?
Oh, man. I think the big one, and this is going to be a bit of a downer, unfortunately, kind of comparatively to the rest of the podcast, but the biggest one I've been covering was... the trial of the man who was responsible for the truck attack back in 2021. Yeah, the Opsahl family. So I was covering that for radio, and I covered that the entire way through, from the start of the trial to he was just sentenced recently, all the way to the end of that. And so that was my responsibility for radio, and that did offer some, pretty cool opportunities. I went on some national talk shows, like radio talk shows. So, stuff that was broadcast out of Toronto, stuff that was broadcast out of Hamilton, which I know are like more local to us, but then like also like Winnipeg and Calgary and stuff like that to talk about this trial because I was there in the at least for the major portions, like the end, like the verdict and the sentencing. I was there in the courtroom. So that was probably that's probably been the biggest story I've covered. You know, I've also covered off some other random stuff. You know, I housing announcements. I've spoken with you know, some pretty up high people in you know, provincial politics. But I mean, like, it's a lot of just local stuff. You know, right now, I think like I just wrote a story yesterday about something with Harris Park and about upgrades they're doing to Harris Park, right? It's like most of the time local news is pretty boring, but I like boring, luckily. So,
well, and it's the big thing that we get taught left and right is the importance of local, and how just that should be the market that we try to target as journalists, because so many of these stories don't get told or talked about on a larger scale. So being able to cover it, bring the people of a city closer to the news of what's actually going on in their direct area is huge in our industry.
Oh, totally. And I think, like, especially among people like our age, a lot of people don't know what's going on in their municipal politics, and a lot of people don't know what's going on in their city. So, for example, this Harris Park story, they are re-upping erosion protection on the shoreline. But because they're doing that, they have to cut down like 25 trees in the park or something like that. Some of these trees are huge, first off, and really, really old, right? And so there was someone, a Western student, who reached out to us and was like, I'm not happy about this. So we ended up being able to talk to her and talk to some folks from the city and make sure that people at least know that, you know, hey, there's a reason why Harris Park looks like crap right now.
Yeah.
Because they need to cut down 25 trees because some of them are old and they want to move the path and they want to install this new stuff and they got to refix the shore and it's all...
And it's that time of year too. I know. I think Springbank Park over on the West End is doing something similar because they're doing they're pretty much finalizing getting rid of the dam that's over there.
Yeah.
And with that, they just started cutting down. I think they're doing like 40 trees along the whole Thames. And yeah, same thing. I think 15 to 20 of them were fully grown trees, and it's like cool. Like, I understand you guys have to fix, like, pretty much decommission this dam. But, like, that's a lot of history there.
Yeah, they're at least, you know, they're replanting. Like, you know, in the case of Harris Park, you know, they're cutting down 25, but they're planting, like, 80 or something like that, which is crazy. You know, you'd think they'd be like, oh, we're going to plant, like, 30 of them, you know, just that number plus five. And then, but no, they're planting, like, nearly, like, four times as many trees, which is cool.
That's good.
Which is good to hear. But, you know, it's going to take time for those trees to grow. But it's, like, that's an example of, like, some of the stories I have to write. You know, someone reached out to us about how their business was suffering because of all the downtown construction and how it's really hard to get to their cafe right now. Stuff like that. And it's good. I like covering those stories. I think those are, you know, like you said, local is, I think, the most important part of journalism is, I think, those local stories, those are the people that live in the city. Those are the people that are the city, to kind of get a little, you know, wax poetic about it, is that, you know, those local stories about those local people, that is what matters, I think, the most in news.
Yeah, it's like you can always just cover stories that you as a journalist want to talk about. But we're getting to a point where it's so much more important to talk about the stories that we need to be talking about to keep people just more generally informed of what's going on in their area. And to go back a little bit, just to what you mentioned about the Afzal family and that trial that went on, we only lightly touch on it in the broadcast journalism, but how were your emotions as a journalist throughout that whole experience? I know there were some days, even on our end, because we did a lot of coverage for it, where just hearing about what's going on every single day back to back, like, it's important to get the info out, but it can be really taxing in some cases.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, you pretty much said it perfectly, that it's really taxing. You know, it was every day for like 3-4 months was just this story. And it's not, obviously it's not a good story to be following, like to be following like that. So, I had to do, you know, I had to basically do a lot of stuff to make sure to, like, keep myself in a good headspace while I was in there. You know, when we got the verdict, it was, I was so relieved, but it was also, that was also some of the two most stressful days of my life, because I drove down to Windsor for the verdict. They held the trial in Windsor, and I drove down the day of the verdict to, or the day of the trial ending. And it was a 2-hour drive, and I basically immediately went to the courthouse And then I was in the courthouse until like 4:30. And then I drove back home and kept working until like 8 o'clock, and I had already been on since 9. And then the next day I got to the courthouse at 9 o'clock. They did their kind of, you know, their thing before the verdict. And then it was just waiting all day. And then we got the verdict at 1, and then it was a blur till basically like 7. And then I drove home. I drove home that next day. And so, and then when we finally got the sentencing, I was like, oh my God, it's done. I was like such relief, that it was done, because it's just, like I said, it was a very tough story to follow, I think. And, that's unfortunately is part of the job. But you also, I think, gotta have to realize that, like, and this is like advice for, I think, any young journalist who may be listening to this. It's like, okay to be like, hey, I don't think I'm in the right headspace to cover this. Because at the end of the day, this is a job, and your job should not be more important than your mental health. So if you find that you can't do it, talk to someone, and you know, more often than not, they'll be able to help you out. Because you know, you can't do good reporting if you're not in a good headspace. So
when we're journalists, reporters, we're people too. A lot of people picture the bad guy from Die Hard when they think of like what a reporter is or what a journalist is. But when we're covering these stories, we get really, it's hard for us not to get attached a little bit, especially when it's day after day covering the same story. In that case, is hearing like a lot of witness testimonies, hearing the actual circumstances of what happened. It's hard not for us to relate to what's going on in some way, shape, or form. So even though we are paid to talk about it, we still get attached. Like, we're human beings.
Totally. Yeah, we're human beings. We put our skin suits on one leg at a time, just like everyone else.
And so as we get towards the end of the podcast, I think I've done this once with you before, which is some of these lightning questions.
Oh boy, I've been prepped.
Still been a tradition all the way going forward. So it'd be cool either to hear how things have changed or how things have changed or stayed the same with some of these answers for you.
For sure.
So same thing as last time. It's going to be a lot of just quick answers. Try and get the hint, like what you're thinking right off the get-go, right off the top of your head.
I'm prepped and I'm ready and I'm so good.
So right off the bat, what's your favorite food?
Still butter chicken.
Butter chicken. Good. I've been having infinitely more butter chicken since I think the last time we talked about this.
Dude, so here's a life hack for you. Get some garam masala, right? Get some garam masala and some cayenne pepper and put that on your chicken before you cook it. Oh my God. Life-changing.
I've been finding an important part that goes along with butter chicken is also having rice and naan.
Is
what a difference maker.
Yeah, both. But I'm telling you, dude, basically dry rub your chicken in garam masala before you cook it. It is like the best thing ever.
Is that more of like a spice or a kicker? Just change the flavor.
It's like a spice used a lot in like Indian cooking. I don't remember what it all is made up of, but it's delicious. It's the best thing ever.
Great to know. Cause yeah, like I said, I've been having a ton of butter chicken since.
I just had some earlier this week.
And this might be one of the tougher ones for you. What music are you listening to right now?
Right now, let me pull up my phone, because I actually just I have been listening to new music. I try to listen to new music every
I know you did a lot of our music posts when you were here, which I always appreciated, getting new tastes and all that.
Of course. So lately, you know, some of my new listens, I've been listening to this band called Tidal Fight. They're like an emo punk band. They're pretty good. There's another one, some Bauhaus, which is like 80s emo rock. Love them. And then the new MGMT album, Loss of Life, is really, really good.
Yeah, it is
fantastic.
I've been lightly getting into MGMT lately.
I got into them with Little Dark Age, which I think a lot of people did, because that album is a banger. And then I listened to some of the earlier stuff, and then they're like, oh, by the way, we're putting out a new album earlier this year. And I was like, yes. And it's great. Really, really recommend it. So, that's the new stuff. And, you know, some local stuff. Shout out to my friend Naya. Her new album Dirt Jumper just came out, so you should listen to that.
Always got to support local. Go check it.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite movie right now?
Ooh, I just watched Everything Everywhere All at Once again.
So good. Yeah.
I was kind of looking at the Oscar winner, like Oscar nominees this year, and I was kind of like, you know, none of these really You know, I liked a good portion of these, but I'm like, none of these, I'm like, oh, this deserves the Oscar. And then Matt was like, oh, what? Matt, my partner, he was like, oh, I wonder what won last year. And I was like, oh, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And he goes, I've never seen that. And I'm like, well, we're sitting down and we're watching it. And yeah, still just as good the, you know, fifth dozen time I've watched it. So it's that is my favorite movie at the moment.
Spectacular.
Although another one that I really, really like is Unbreakable by M. Night Shyamalan. That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Ooh, I haven't seen that one in years. I think I watched that one when I think like Split and some of those other ones were coming out tied to that one. And yeah, great movie.
Oh, fantastic movie. It's one of his best.
But if you haven't checked out Everything Everywhere All at Once,
oh my God, you should. It is like one of the best movies I've ever seen.
What's your favorite season?
Ooh. See, these are different questions. You're throwing me off. I used to be a fall and winter person, but now I'm a summer girly.
Ooh.
I've been getting out doing, you know, more like outside activities. You know, I skateboard a lot. I go for runs and go to the beach and stuff. So summer. I'm ready for the summer.
Yeah, I always say it. Anyone who comes on and says winter, I'm like, why? I feel like I can just do more things in every other season that's not winter.
Especially this past winter when it's like it didn't even snow, so you didn't even get the good part of winter. It was just cold.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Tea?
Yeah, still tea.
Good pick, do you prefer the city or the country?
Oh, man. I would prefer the country if I could get good Wi-Fi out there. But you can't. You can't. It's impossible. So the city for the time being.
And last one for you. Do you have a favorite hobby at the moment?
Ooh. Okay, this is going to be some absolute nerd stuff. And I want you guys, everyone, to be prepped for this. I've gotten recently into model building, specifically Gundams.
Yes.
Okay. I've been building Gundams for the past couple of months. It is the best thing ever. If you've got autism or ADHD or something like that, just sit yourself down in front of a Gundam and build one of those, because it just tickles the brain of like, you know, having to snip out the pieces and file down all the little nubs to make it look good and everything goes together, and then you get to pose your little guy at the end. So I've built two. I'm in the process of building a third at the moment, but I just need to find the time. But that is my new hobby recently, is Gunpla, and it's so much fun.
I only got into it late last year, and because my first animes off the get-go were Gundam Seed and Gundam Seed Destiny.
Oh yeah.
And so I immediately was like, where are they? Where are the ones from that? Where's the Freedom Gundam? I want it. And yeah, it's just a real fun way to spend a day. I'm not usually an overly meticulous person, but as soon as I got into it, I was like, okay.
We're
doing it. We're focusing.
Oh, yeah. I think my first one was one of the Gundams from the new series, and then I just recently picked up one from, I think it was Zeta Gundam, which is, I think, the second series they ever did, and that one's really been fun to build because it's a step up from the lower series of, like, it's a step up from, like, the lowest grade Gundam, so it's one of the more high-detail ones. So many pieces, so many little bitty pieces that I have to work with, so it's like, you know, I've been working on it for, like, a month, 2 months, and I've gotten the legs built.
Huh.
Like just the legs. So
see, I've only done the smaller ones, like the
those are the high grade ones probably. So but really recommend that hobby to anyone who's looking for something to do with their hands and their free time, because that is a fun one.
And so with that, we're pretty much done this episode. Thank you so much for coming on, Ben. It was spectacular having you on the show again.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was funny. I was talking to Brandon and Hannah, and I was like, you know, they're like, oh, what got you back on the show? I was like, oh yeah, I just kind of reached out to Justin on LinkedIn because I wanted to see what he was doing, and he wouldn't follow me back on Twitter.
Oh no. If I haven't since, I have to.
So yeah, he wouldn't follow me back on Twitter, so I reached out on LinkedIn, and then you were like, oh, do you want to come on the podcast? And our schedules just worked out, so here I am. So yeah, glad you had me on, man.
And thank you to everyone listening for checking out this episode of the Interrobangs Red Couch Podcast. You can check us out wherever you get your podcasts, on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get them. Our latest issue is on shelves now, so be sure to check it out. And check out everything Interrobang at theinterrobang.ca, or check us out on socials at theinterrobang_FSU. So thank you so much again for listening, and take care.
Take care, guys. Bye.